You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Happy Friday to you. Thank God it's Friday. We're going to head into this weekend. Let's do it the best way. Let's sit under the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to us today. We're in the book of Revelation here on WGOD Radio. You're hearing pretty much the sermons which I'm preaching at our church. We're going through the book of Acts. That's where we're going to be this Sunday. You are invited, by the way. We're in Acts chapter 20, following the Apostle Paul around in these later chapters of Acts. And that's where we're going to be this Sunday morning at 10:30, Island Community Church. You are invited. You could join us live at 10:30. You could watch us on Facebook, but I encourage you to come into God's house, fellowship with some other believers, and it's God's house. Nothing but good can come to you when you come into God's house and spend some time there. It's special. It's not like your house. It's not like going somewhere else. It's special to be in his house. So that's what's going on at the church. Here on the radio, on other days, we're going through the book of Revelation. And that's where we're at here today. We're going to pick it up in chapters 10. Chapter 10 is very short. We're going to spend most of this sermon in chapter 11. That's going to look at the two witnesses, at least to kick it off. That's where we're going to be today. This sermon will wrap up Monday. Let's get into the Word now. We're in the book of Revelation.
And, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, I used to love to go to the track. But the problem was I always lost every time I was there. I don't have that problem anymore. Because now I've got win, place, and show. I can hit every trifecta there ever is. It's all right here. He tells you what's going to happen before it happens, so that you will not be deceived. And that's why he promises a blessing if you do that. Okay, now we're in chapters 10 and 11 in our sermon series here through the book of Revelation. We left off with a lot of bad stuff going on, if you guys remember from last week. A star falls from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit. He in turn releases the angel hair pasta demons. Remember them? Maybe you say, I wasn't here last week. What in the world is an angel hair pasta demon? Well, you got to watch the sermon from last week and you can see what I was talking about. That was Revelation chapter 9. But he in turn, he releases these locust-shaped demons that sting people and do what they do for 5 months. Then at the sixth trumpet, we see that four bad angels were released who were tied up in the Euphrates River. That was chapter 9, where we read, "Release the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. We see that all the people left on planet Earth refused to repent of their sins. That was chapter 9, verse 20. It says, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murderers or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Sounds like another old favorite TV show of mine, The Streets of San Francisco, a Quinn Martin production. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? Flip on the news and watch what's going on in San Francisco. It's this. Also, we looked at last week that word sorcery, I think, is more prophetic than John realized. The Greek word is the word pharmakia, where our word, where pharmaceutical drugs comes from. One of the greatest revelations God ever gave me was when right here at this text, God said to me one day, they do not repent because they can't. It's too late. Where is that in the Bible, you say? Write down these verses too on the back. Matthew 25, Luke chapter 13. I don't think they're up on here. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Five were ready, five weren't. Those that were ready went with the Lord when he came back for them. The other, the Bible says the door was shut. And they wanted to get in, where we read Luke 13, 24, where the Lord says many will try to get in. Many, many will try to get in, and they will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, it's too late. And now here at this point here, it's too late is what the Lord showed me. It's too late for salvation then. You got to believe now. You got to believe today while it's still today, because it's too late then. It's too late then to call on the name of the Lord. You got to call on the name of the Lord here today on this 14th of January, year of our Lord, 2024. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible does not say tomorrow is the day of salvation. It says today is the day of salvation. That's the last verses up there. Carol added on the list, Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to look at that coming up a little later. Now, one more clarifying word on what I said last week about pharmaceutical drugs. I'm so glad someone came up to me after the service and reminded me. Now, we're not talking about Lipitor here. All right? It's my own fault for not explaining that. That is not talking about all of you that are on blood pressure medicine that you're going to hell. Or on Lipitor, like my dad was on for most of his life, that probably half of the people in this church are taking. One of the associate pastors on, but we're not talking about pharmaceutical blood pressure or things prescribed by the doctor for the healing of the body. We are talking about getting high. Let's make sure I make the distinction here. And we're talking about idols. Anything you put before the Lord that you were unwilling to give up when he instructs you to give it up. I've heard of thousands of people that have given up pharmaceutical drugs because they knew that the Holy Spirit was prompting them, hey, you don't need this anymore. You don't need this stuff. You don't need this stuff to sleep anymore. Try me. God is the great compensator. He will compensate for you not taking hallucinogenic stuff in order to sleep that gets you addicted to it. God will provide that. He will make it up. Anything that you put before the Lord that you were unwilling to give up when he instructs you to give it up. Now, for the rich young ruler last week we looked at, it was money. And these here that we looked at last week, the rest of mankind that weren't killed by these plagues, they did not repent of the works of their hands. So that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which cannot see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their drugs, or their sexual immorality, or of their thefts. Seems like thefts is perhaps front and center right here in America, isn't it? I mean, every time I turn on the news, I see that. Is these smiling people that go around robbing stores, cleaning them out, not giving a rip about it. That's what we're talking about. See, the time is coming where Jesus is going to say to you and to them, he's going to say, follow me. And you have to decide what you are going to do. That's a question only you can answer. When the Lord says, leave all that behind and follow me. Now, let's pick it up here in chapter 10, verse 1. So, at the end of the age, this is another telltale sign you'll know that we're at the end of the age when the stuff around here is pharmaceutical drugs, thefts, sexual immorality. Gee, is the Holy Spirit pressing his thumb down on us? I mean, that's all around us. There's no greater word picture to describe what's going on out here in the world today. Now, chapter 10, verse 1. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. This is why some expositor erroneously think this is the Lord Jesus, but it's not. But we've seen him described in a similar manner to this. Of his face shining like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. Revelation 1, remember, told us his feet were like burnished brass. Okay, verse 2. So we had a little book open in his hand. And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. Wow, this must have been some awesome-looking angel. How could he have one foot on the water and one foot on the land? He cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. All right, now here's another awesome-looking end-times player that we run into, this mighty angel. Verse 4, now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders have uttered and do not write them. All right, so the first and only time in this book, John is instructed not to write down what he hears. He was told all along, right, Darren? Write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. But here, he figures, I got to write this down too. And he starts to write it down and God says to him, no, you don't. Don't write it down. You're not going to write it down. Therefore, he's trying to tell us what it was, and he wouldn't let him write it down. So therefore, you and I are not to know what this means. That's why we're not going to camp out and spend a lot of time here. He's deliberately saying, you cannot know what this means. Verse 5, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land, he raised up his hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. All right, now here in verse 7, at least this is what we do know. Verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, that the mystery of God will be finished as he declared it to his servants, the prophets. All right, so here we have the promise that at the last trumpet, the mystery of God is going to be finished as he put it. So at the last trumpet, it's all over. At the last trumpet, it's all over. Now, we don't understand this, again, because God deliberately sees to it that you and I can't understand this. So now I want to skip ahead to chapter 11. If he says we can't understand it, then let's not spend all of our time trying to understand it. Because he says you can understand this. Let's move on to chapter 11. Remember, as we read, he's not going in chronological order. Notice that we're back to neatly dividing the tribulation in half. 7 years divided by two is 42 months, or 1,260 days. Now remember, the Hebrew calendar, there's 360 days to a year, not 365. So 1,260 days is 3.5 years. Okay, chapter 11, verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those that worship there. But leave the outer court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. All right, so the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is given to the Gentiles, like it is now. Now, the Lord said this. He said in Luke 21:24, he said, Jerusalem, and I encourage you, write this in your Bible. Write this verse, Luke 21:24. Write it, if you write in your Bibles, write it right next to what we just read here in verse 2, or write it in your notes if you don't like writing in your Bible. What do you know? I don't have that one up there either. Luke 21:24. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until. Catch the word until. That means there's a time coming when it's going to end. It's only temporary. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles like it is now. Turn the news on. Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Again, so we tie that to Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. Now, we know to the day when this is. Again, when, place, and show. You don't know when the Lord's coming back, but he's given you, you know, to the day how long this stuff is going to happen. He's telling you right here. Sometimes he says to you, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father has placed in his own authority. But here he wants you to know. And he's telling you to the day how long this is going to happen. The tribulation is 7 years. The first half down to the day, the city's going to be trampled underfoot like it is right now by Gentiles, be it Muslims, unbelievers, perhaps even Christians. All he said is Gentile. That's a non-Jew. So that's what we're going to go with. Now, verse 3. And as I said, we know to the day how long this is, because he's going to tell us right now. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. All right, so 42 months and 1,260 days is the same time period. Also, when you read in Daniel chapter 7, where he says the Gentiles have been given into the hands of the Antichrist, it says for a time, times, and half a time, it's the same time period. It's 3.5 years. The 7 years is divided in half, neatly, apparently, down to the day. I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are, this is verse 4, so that is the two witnesses. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the God of the earth. Now, any good Bible, for anyone here that's got a reference Bible, you'll notice a footnote there that points you back to the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4, do you guys see that in your Bible? The translators of the Bible are telling you that The go-to place to find out what this is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. They're telling you where to go to find out who this is. Now, this prophetic book is very, very similar to the book of Revelation. Zechariah is the name of the book. It's chapter 4. So this phrase, these are, tells us who these two individuals are. They're the same two that Zechariah the prophet saw, whoever they may be. And that was 500 years earlier. That was 2,500 years earlier than it is now. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's preposterous. That's 2,000. That's over 2,000 years. They barely invented the wheel back then. What did we learn last week? Remember? Believe God and his word, even when you don't understand. If God has said it, believe it, even if you don't understand it. All these people in the book of Revelation, they're all supernatural. They're not normal. The author is telling you that these guys were around in Zechariah's time, which was 450 years before, 450 years BC, or 2,500 years ago from now. But the common, you know, the thought, oh, I can't believe that. See, that's what they said. That's what they said back in the year 90. When they warned, they said 200 million Chinamen are going to cross over this Euphrates River. And people said, oh, that's crazy. There's only 130 million people in the world. How could 200 million people be on the other side of the Euphrates River ready to cross over? God's calling you to trust in his word even when you don't understand it. If he said it, believe it. Trust in God. Believe in his word even when you don't understand. He's not calling you to understand it all. He's calling you to believe it all. To put in plain, simple, easy to understand language, these two witnesses are supernatural. That's all you need to. They weren't born yesterday. They're supernatural. There's more to these guys than meets the eye. They're not regular, run-of-the-mill humans. They were alive in 450 BC, and they appeared then to an Old Testament prophet. So I'll read that reference to you. That was Zechariah chapter 4. You don't need to turn there if you don't want. Zechariah chapter 4, like your Bible tells me to go and read. In verse 1, it says, "Now the angel who talked with me, he came back and he wakened me as a man awakened out of a sleep." Imagine that. Here he is, sound asleep, snoring away. This guy, he's dead to the world, sound asleep. Angel comes, starts shaking him to wake him up. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps." Verse 3, "Two olive trees are by it, one on the right and the other on the left." Now remember the prophecy we just read. The guy is saying to John, these are the two olive trees that stand before the Lord of the earth. Now Zechariah the prophet continues, verse 4, "So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' And then the angel who talked with me answered and said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.'" So you see, even the prophet didn't know who they are. So don't feel bad. You're in good company. He even saw them with his eyes and didn't know who they are. And people today are still arguing until the cows come home who they are, and this guy saw them. He said, "Who are they?" He goes, "That's right out of Abbott and Costello. What are you asking me for?" He's on first. He saw them, and he didn't know them. Don't feel bad that you don't know them. All you need to know is that God said they are going to be here. They're going to preach. He tells you how many days they're going to preach. 1,260 days. Now, they might not be wearing a dry sack, but they're going to have clothes of mourning on, I'd imagine. He just probably didn't understand. Maybe it was Vidal Sassoon, and John didn't know what that was. I don't know. I even found another Old Testament reference to these guys. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11, I answered and said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on the left?" And I further answered and I said to him, "What are these two olive branches?" And he answered me and said, "Do you not know who these are?" Here we go again. He's not on first. What's the fella's name on first base? I'm not asking you who was on second. Who was on first?
Third base.
What are you asking me for? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't care. That's our shortstop. That's what you got to do. You might as well be playing Abbott and Costello to try to figure out these guys. Zechariah saw him with his own eyes, and he didn't know. He says, who are you? He goes, what are you asking me? I don't know who they are. Do you not know who these are? And I said, no. Where am I reading from? I'm reading Zechariah chapter 4, verse 13. He sees them. Remember, Revelation 11, 3, or wherever that was, says, these are the guys right here. So we're going back to look. He sees them, and he goes, don't you know who these are? He goes, nope, I don't know who they are. Zechariah 4, 14, he says, these are the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Now, literally in Hebrew, this means the two sons of fresh oil. And don't ask me what that means. The two sons of fresh oil. Now, back in the day, the two olive trees were the two leaders in Israel. That much I do know. Which was Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor. So let me say that again. Back in the day, the two olive trees were the two leaders in Israel. All right, now back to Revelation chapter 11, verse 5. But first, again, all you need to understand from this verse of explanation is that this is all part of God's plan and there's nothing new under the sun. These two are just as supernatural as what we looked at last week. Remember when we read, he said, release the four angels who had been prepared for this hour, day, month, and year, who were prepared and released to kill a third of mankind. They're supernatural. Nothing is run-of-the-mill here in this book. Everything, all of God's end times players are supernatural. Know as well, these two witnesses weren't born yesterday. They were around in Zechariah's time. And as we're about to discover, the Antichrist who kills them is perhaps, just as old as these guys are. He's not just some pope or someone that comes out of Rome. He comes out of the bottomless pit we're about to find. Not out of Rome, not out of Schenectady. Now, verse 5. Now, if anyone wants to harm them, all right, so we got these two cats here in Jerusalem. This could be any time. I think it's the second half of the tribulation. They're preaching. They're witnessing. They're witnessing to something, I don't know, whether it's the coming judgment or whether it's now is the day of salvation, I don't know. Because remember, it's not going in order, so this could be before chapter 9 when I told you no one repents because they can't. He's not going in order. He's seeing a vision to the end and then he's going to another vision.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.